7 seconds left. Tannehill will throw it, and this will end it after the shovel, or will it? Miami running around, circling. Oh, look out! Gronkowski didn't have the angle! Touchdown! Oh, Kenyon Drake! A miracle! Miraculous in Miami!
David. Football. Football David. The Dave Dameshek Football Program, available on Apple Podcasts and at NFL.com/DDFP. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
That was grand stuff. At least part of Sunday was enjoyable viewing for the pro football fan. In fact, I think most people consider it to be the most entertaining week of pro football action
ever.
Well, at least in 2018, we'll get into all of it, and we're going to look ahead to week 15 of pro football action with the man seated to my immediate left and whose voice you just heard there. Meantime, hi and hello, and welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program, presented, as always, by Head & Shoulders. We've been on a real roll this week here. The week started with the great Bill Burr, Patriots fan, Boston fan extraordinaire, very funny stuff. We did about 45 minutes with him, Eddie Spaghetti, still has not returned from Cloud Nine because that's his favorite guy. You know, that he loves Bill Burr. So he enjoyed that one. Go back and listen to it. Do it for Eddie Spaghetti. We dug into the Patriots and Steelers, what Patriots fans think of Tom, what I think of Big Ben Roethlisberger. We talked some 80s football. You know who he loved, Handsome Hank?
I know. I listen. Dan Marino.
Danny Marino.
He loves Dan
That's his
Dan
favorite
Marino.
Game ever. Yep. It was when Dan Marino beat the Bears on Monday Night Football.
Right.
It's his favorite game
ever. And he's
a
Patriots fan.
And then we talked about hockey and fights. In fact, we have a little clip of a little bit more, some director's cut, some left on the cutting room floor sound about hockey. He got very upset with me when I asserted something. But anyway, so we have that for you. And then we did another podcast with our pal David Carr. It was a contentious visit, though, because I got into him about Derek, his younger brother, being mean-spirited in that victory over the Steel. That wasn't nice. They don't, Raiders don't need that. What are they playing for? They don't need that win. The Steelers needed it.
It's literally his job.
Well, you know what? There are bigger things in the world than just selfish needs, you know. And I told David that, and he didn't seem to you know, care either. You know, I don't know what's going on with that Carr family.
Well, I come down, as always, firmly on the side of the Carrs.
Yeah, well, I like them too. I think that we'll get over this. We'll move forward together. And so we talked to David Carr about all things week 14. And then we also caught up with Ryan Mundy, late of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
On Monday.
I get it. Yeah, we talked on Tuesday to Monday, and I didn't make that crack because I'm sure he's
You're
never heard it before,
that.
And at this point, why would I make it now? It's too late in his life. But we had a lot of fun yapping with him about the Bears, and we did a little New York City, Chicago, Pittsburgh food debate there, and then we talked about Mike Tomlin. He had some interesting thoughts about that. So go back and listen
and
to both those podcasts.
He humiliated Kent Brown.
Yeah, that was a surprise too. Our heretofore high school football savant.
Right.
I don't want to spoil anything more. Go back and listen. We did a head-to-head game between those two.
Sorry.
So anyhow, good stuff. And there's a new Daves of Thunder out there. Find that wherever you like to track down your favorite podcast. Much to listen to, and Handsome coming up in a matter of days, really hours. The clock is now ticking down. These 12 months have almost run out. You know what that means? It's time for the Shecky Awards. Eddie Spaghetti, do you happen to know off the top of your head what date they air?
We are airing it the week of Christmas. I believe the Thursday after Christmas. Does that sound right?
That would be probably about the 27th.
That sounds like the 27th.
I think that's
the day after Boxing Day.
I think it might be that day.
I really want to do Boxing Day. We talk about it every year here. I want to do Boxing Day.
I mean, all you have to do is sit at home on the sofa and eat leftovers. It's not a whole lot. I mean, I would imagine that's most days of your life.
No. That's what Boxing Day, I thought, was when you switched jobs. No,
if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen any longer. I think it was the one day that the aristocracy would do something nice for their servants.
I get it, but I don't care what happens in 2018. It just seems like a fun idea, so we need to do it. And I don't think we take each other's jobs necessarily. I think we just have to do a show as each other.
Right.
So, like, we'll get money in here. Money is, by the way, obviously, we're recording on Thursday, so he's off at the big Thursday night football game.
That's a big game.
Featuring Hunter Henry versus Derek Johnson, the big matchup. By the way, Hunter Henry is one of those guys. I really want to put together a complete list, Spaghetti, of all the people in pro football who have first names for last names and vice versa. Hmm. Hunter Henry is right at the top.
And you know, the other one, that he also has obviously an alliterative name. And as tight ends, another one is Jesse James. Who could be James Jesse?
That's right. Sean Lee has two first names. Mm. Leighton Vander Esch, as I told Sean Lee, and Leighton Vander Esch. Yeah, he has nothing but
first names.
Yeah, they're all surnames.
He should be Sean Leighton and
I know, but then Leighton Vander Esch, when I called him out on this, he said, Leighton's a first name. And I said, for a girl, it is. I don't know any guys named Leighton, right?
Yep.
Well, I mean, besides him, and he's having a nice season. Anyhow, track down, Leighton is on my top 100 list that I update each and every week here in the pro football season. Track it down at Damashek on Twitter and on Instagram, DDamashek, so on and so forth. Well, before we jump in on pro football, and we got some sound for you, like I say, from Bill Burr coming up. Plus, we sat down with Willie McGinnis just a little bit ago and kibitzed about obviously the ownership of the Patriots have over the Steelers in the 21st century. Mm-hmm. Willie McGinnis weighs in.
The ownership the Dolphins have over the Patriots.
That's right. And he weighs in on Tomlin. He has some interesting thoughts on that. We'll give you that sound as well, a preview of that game as well when we start getting into the Week 15 big matchups here. Red Challenge flag style. A lot of good games. A lot of playoff relevant games for both sides. And those are the best kind as you wind the season down. But like you say, Handsome, your Dolphins now, it felt like, all right, they're not playing for anything. In fact, spoiler alert, Willie McGinnis just sat where you're sitting and said that was their Super Bowl. They're not really in playoff contention. That was their Super Bowl. When the Patriots come down to South Beach, that's the biggest game for them, and so they tend to show up for it. Still a mystery why the Patriots can never win down there. Do you think they go out on Saturday night or what?
Who go out on Saturday night?
Brady and company. You think that's what the, I mean, like,
oh, no,
that's
I
the
don't.
Joke
Sorry,
people
I
make.
See. I see. No, I don't.
Don't they call it the LA hangover or whatever, Spaghetti, or the Hollywood hangover or whatever, when NBA guys when come NBA out and they have a Sunday game?
I get that, but I mean, I'm not sure that's realistically what's going on with NFL teams in South Florida.
I don't think so either, but what's the explanation?
I think they just tend to be either slightly outcoached or overlook the Dolphins. I do think they come down there and overlook the Dolphins quite often. They're playing a big game against a big right. I mean, the Dolphins would say that the Patriots and the Dolphins are rivals. That hasn't necessarily been the case, at least in the record books over the last few years, where they're playing the Steelers the next week, and that is a big rivalry.
Are you concerned? Are you legitimately concerned that, or do you like Ryan Tannehill? I know you like him on a personal level, but are you concerned as a Dolphins fan? Does it bother you that if Ryan Tannehill and company do just enough now that
Ryan
he
Tannehill
stays
will
there?
Be on the Miami Dolphins roster next year.
And does that make you happy or no?
No, it doesn't necessarily make me happy, but I do think that he is the kind of quarterback that could probably, without being obnoxious about it, groom another. He's not going to be Ben Roethlisberger about it.
Why do you do that?
I brought it up because he is the most relevant guy who's at least taken against the
most
idea.
Most relevant guy?
It just happened. He took against the idea of grooming someone.
Are you crazy? Tom Brady had Jimmy Garoppolo traded across the country. What are you talking about?
12 months ago.
All right, well, that's more.
Ben Roethlisberger did it 6 months ago.
I don't think Mason Rudolph's gotten traded away or anything like that. As far as we hear, Rudolph.
Ben Roethlisberger or Tom Brady type, who is not going to.
And a Peyton type. You think Peyton liked having guys?
I don't, let's not.
All right, whatever. I'm just telling you. Don't you try.
I'm sure Ben wouldn't take this personally. He wouldn't care at all because he doesn't care about anything apart from making it look like he injured himself so that he can come back and do something spectacular.
Anyway. Is that what you think happened on Sunday in Oakland? That's I talk about another mystery. Another weird kryptonite.
I think that's exactly
I can't
what
beat
happened.
The Raiders. Right. This junk
he
team
took himself
year.
Out of the game to do his thing and then Tomlin was like, okay, I'm going to double down on that.
Handsome. Anyway, how
did
we
finish
heard?
Answering the question Please, that you yes. asked me, because okay. I don't want you to interrupt me again.
All right.
I think that Ryan Tannehill will be on that team. I think they will try and draft another quarterback. But Tannehill's number for 2019 is not for a quarterback. It's about pitched at exactly where it should be for Ryan Tannehill. Then they get out of the contract a year or two after that, and it's fine.
Not to make too much out of the Miami Dolphins, because it could evaporate by Sunday. But yeah. I am interested in, because in the southeastern region of football America, it does seem like that those teams are the ones that get, not the Saints as much, but it seems like people don't buzz as much about the Dolphins and the Titans and
the Jags and the Bucks.
That,
why would you?
That collective. Well, I think it's because it's SEC country. I think that's not a crazy hypothesis to throw out there. But I do think that Adam Gase has quietly, again, done a good job.
Yeah.
Don't you think so? Everybody in the offseason about the purge of big name brand players, and you thought, oh, they're going to be terrible this year. And they're in the mix in December.
Yeah. I mean, I think he has done generally. I think he got lucky in year one and set the bar too high for himself when he took the Dolphins to the playoffs, and that kind of happened against all odds. Then Tannehill gets injured and he has to deal with Jay Cutler. And then this year they've had, I think it's from opening day on offense and defense, there are 12 starters who are on IR, which is, that's not ideal for your team. And he's managed to get them exactly to, as you say, and within at least playoff contention. I think they're going to finish 8-8, but within playoff contention, and that he should be celebrated for that. But I think if he gets retained, which he should be, he's going to start next season, at least to the sort of mainstream NFL football media, as being on the hot seat.
Which is weird, but I don't see, you're right.
Especially if Tannehill comes back, because again, I don't think people have paid enough attention. They're like, wait, Ryan Tannehill will be back for 2019 and Adam Gase. And I feel like that's a team that will be under a lot of pressure. And if it goes wrong, then obviously we've seen that all badly.
The other side of that coin is, and obviously people have called for it for a half decade, said, oh, it's happening this year. But at some point, Tom Brady is going to retire. That is an unavoidable truth. And when that happens, there will be a vacuum to be filled there in the AFC East. Perhaps it'll be your Dolphins.
Perhaps it will.
Or maybe it'll be the Jets and their young QB, or the Bills and their young QB.
Could be. Three teams.
Meantime, though, where does that rank for you, that Dolphins flea flit, whatever you call it, the pitch play extraordinaire, hook and ladder.
You can call it what you want.
I don't know. Is that really properly a hook and ladder? That's what the Steelers ran in Oakland, and it was great. Did you see it? I mean, it's a shame that got wasted. That'll be on the scrap heap of history now. But that was a well-run hook and ladder that the Steelers did. Not unlike your Dolphin. I'm talking in the Raiders.
This week, yes.
I'm talking this week. It was James Washington to Juju. Right. The greatest of all time was Don Strock to Duriel Harris to Tony Nathan on the last play of the first half of the greatest football game these two eyes have ever seen. Yep. That's right.
Boise State.
Nope.
Boise
Dolphins
State. That's not a hook and ladder. That's a Statue of Liberty.
Statue of Liberty.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point.
Where's Emma? Why? She would know that.
Yeah, she would.
She wouldn't screw that up.
Emma's big in college football, especially Boise State.
Yeah, and play design.
Teams outside of the power.
Her in that blue field. You get her started, you can't stop it. But Handsome, so where does that rank for you in your fandom?
Two.
What was number one?
Fake spike.
Is that true? Yeah. Your favorite play of all time is the fake spike.
Yeah, because because it hadn't been seen before. Mm-hmm. I've seen, you've seen those plays, obviously, Music City. There have been miracles over the years. The fake spike hadn't been seen before. It's my favorite player of all time against the team that I hate more than. I mean, like the Patriots are at they're almost above being able to hate. Mm-hmm. I hate the Jets so much.
Really?
Oh, I hate.
I didn't know that. Why so?
Because I hate the Jets. Every Jets fan is obnoxious. Think about all the Jets fans, awful people.
Well, because they have chips on their shoulder.
They're
forever in second place in their own city.
Right. And everything about that team is just—it's like I don't even. If you weren't in New York, the Jets would be. No one would even think about the Jets ever.
It must.
There'd be
no
reason to ever think about the Jets, and yet we spend so much time talking about the Jets. I just, ugh.
So many of their decisions, too, I think you could make a case, are predicated on trying to rise up past the big brother in right. that city. You know, right. they make
exactly.
decisions Everything that are questionable yeah. because maybe we'll get more attention yeah. for this. Yeah. I refer yeah. you to
if they were called the San Antonio Jets, they would have just folded. there'd be no Jets.
But the big news is, I think, Handsome, because we talked about this already this week, you and me, your boy, Ronnie, got to watch the game with you.
He did.
And insisted on watching this.
He insisted, and I insisted on watching Red Zone, and he insisted, and I let him win this debate, because I, you know, obviously kind of wanted to watch it. And then that thing happened at the end, and we danced on the table. Literally, we danced on the table. And then he was crying with excitement and joy at what had happened at the end, and is now talking about the Dolphins as, you know, probably going to the Super Bowl, and asking me if I can get him Super Bowl tickets when the Dolphins are in the Super Bowl. But I do
hey,
think,
can you get me a pair?
I do think that this is sealed. I mean, he didn't really have any choice. He's already got an array of Dolphins gear, and I don't think he was ever planning on getting off that ship, but he's in.
High stakes, though, Handsome, to let him have his way and watch that game, because it's not just a random Dolphins game. It's a game against the team that really, I mean, I know that Ryan Tannehill has now in his career inexplicably beaten Tom Brady four times, but still, that could have been a buzzsaw game right. for you guys, and you could have watched the Patriots whip the Dolphins. Ergo, perhaps a young mind would have been influenced and said, "I'm a Patriots guy now forever."
Oh, I don't think,
then
I
what would have happened?
I don't think that would have happened.
No?
He knows enough about it. He
knows he can't do that.
He knows he can't do that.
That's well.
And live in the house.
That's
that
my.
The choice
that's my
for
thing.
Him is really You're, like
people say, "Are you make your kids Steelers fans?" No,
no,
no. They just, I mean, they're right. just not welcome to watch football
what's
in my home.
What's the plan?
Yeah.
Where are you going to eat tonight?
Yeah, right. I'm going to do what you want.
If you
want to
lay your
you.
Head, if you want to lay your head on the street, that's fine.
Yeah. And by the way, I'm pretty liberal about this. I don't like it, but you don't have to root for the Pittsburgh Penguins or the Pirates, certainly. That's right. embarrassing to do that at this point. But you do have to root for the Steelers. Yeah. Oh, you don't want to? Okay, then.
Don't.
You know, find your own way in the world.
Open the door.
Good luck with your burgeoning ticket scalping business, Ronnie. You know, yeah. I get two for the Fins. I want no. These aren't good enough seats. I need a.
Yeah, exactly. He'd be looking for an upgrade.
Well, that's great that you got to watch that with your boy. I'm sure that was an exciting thing, and I bet you. I think literally, given my own life experience, that he will remember that for the next six decades.
Yeah.
I think he'll refer
for
back
him,
to
that. Will be the fake spike. The fake spike. You know.
But he had it with you, and it's always going to be. And now you always have the Dolphins as your point of connection when he becomes a teenager and becomes a ne'er-do-well like his old man was in his formative years, you know, and you're yelling at him, "I won't stand for this rubbish."
Yeah, you've been jailed again.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So Emma's out sick. And
Emma out sick. Is she
correct.
Okay?
She texted me about like 7 a.m. that she has flu-like symptoms.
Flu-like symptoms.
She got,
that
got
could
last,
be anything.
Got it last night, and then this morning
it
got
I
worse.
I mean, it could be flu, so. But that's what, you know, when you hear about people with other diseases, that's what they...
You know what I think of? You know what? Because no jive. Not booze. Spaghetti just said booze.
Well, that's what they say. That's the NBA. That's like code for like player went out too hard.
Flu-like symptoms?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, let's hope. Let's hope, even though it'll probably cost her job here, Roger Goodell is not going to stand for that. But let's hope that that's the case, because the first thing I think of is like, oh, somebody I work with has flu-like symptoms. That means I have flu-like symptoms 2 days later than you do.
Right.
I thought that I myself was scared because you brought up your one of your kids was throwing up a couple nights ago in like the middle of the morning, and then I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to catch this now if Dave has it, and that freaked me out. So.
I hope you don't get the vomiting bug that your children have and Emma's flu-like symptoms. That
imagine
would be
that. Yeah,
doubled
that
up.
Yeah, there's a double whammy.
I mean, the chances are good that one of my children somewhere on the face of the earth is vomiting somewhere at any
lot.
Time.
You've
yeah, given lot. Given the volume
but
that
this
I've
is
issued
chance.
To the world.
This is Eddie's chance to sort of give...
To break out.
To Lamar Jackson... Emma, and put her in the Joe Flacco seat.
That's a good point. Yeah. She's so Bledsoe, you're Brady. Go ahead there, Spaghetti. What do you? This is your time to shine.
I don't know. Nothing changes. My role has always been the same. Produce the show, help with content, help with cutting clips. And
what does Emma do then?
Emma's more of a managerial role, kind of.
Is that right?
Yeah,
she's your manager.
Is she aware of that?
No, she knows.
Okay.
She's been here longer. She's the veteran.
Yeah, she has the know-how.
There is a passive aggressive statement that you just made, you know, buried with or insinuation buried within your statement.
I don't think Emma would argue that, like, when it comes to content, like, she...
You do it.
I think she knows oversees that it. I have a good grasp on, like, what, you know, what works in the show, and she does, too. And when Emma has a...
But
great,
you're saying you're extent. More of a doer than she is.
Yeah. Like, could this... it seems like today the show is happening without... She's not here, she was drinking last night, and she didn't decide...
Went on a twister. Yeah.
Decided not to come in today. It seems like the show is running very, very smoothly.
It would go the same way with Emma here.
So, is Emma needed?
I'll say my statement is that myself or Emma could do this show solo.
but two of you is wasted effort.
When people start referring to themselves as myself, that's an issue.
I don't know. I think that the show needs two people.
That's an offshoot of when people are referred to as persons, it's never a good thing. Like three persons
of interest.
Yes. You never want to be a person of interest. And you never want to be talking about, Emma or myself could do,
I think we should ask the listeners to give feedback. If you're listening now, if you just listen to the whole show, and if you feel like it dropped off in performance from when and Eddie are here, then let us know, and we'll make sure we bring Emma back. If not, maybe it's time.
Well,
to,
you know,
to
also handsome that the Shecky Awards are fast approaching here, and for the most part, they are decided by the same blue ribbon panel, the one that decided the pie off a couple of weeks
incorrectly
ago.
Incorrectly decided the pie off. Well,
I mean, that's your opinion. That's rearview mirror stuff. Yep. And
I don't live in your taste buds. I don't know what.
That's right.
What they're
that's
feeling.
Exactly right. That's precisely right. You can question the decision that the Oscars committee made, but they're considered in charge. They're the gold standard of it. Yes, Spaghetti and MVP and Kent Brown and Ricky Hollywood have all been nominated for Best DDFP Producer. And so that's a fan vote. That's a listener vote.
I'm going to lose that one.
You think
Why?
So?
Yeah, I think so.
People love you. I mean, they did up until the whole take pictures of your dinner, but I think up until then.
I got positive feedback, but...
Eddie Spaghetti, if you haven't noticed this week, has been tweeting out pictures of his plates of food.
Yeah.
How low can you go,
Well, it's fine.
How desperate for attention can somebody get that they start taking photos of their food and sending it out to random people?
The only insult that ever bothered me, I think, was... I don't know who brought it up, but somebody said, like, once... Money started reading my tweets, it, like, got to my head, so I was like crafting tweets. I never do that. I don't spend more than a half a second on a tweet.
But
I live by that.
Don't think.
It's quick twitch muscles.
Spaghetti Creed.
In 2018, do not think on Twitter. No, it's probably awful advice. But no, I don't sit down. I know people that craft tweets. I don't do that. So I made food. I was happy with myself. I have a busy day. I'm here stuck in traffic. I'm doing two different shows here. I'm cooking for my girlfriend.
Giving MVP letting her take all the credit for your hard work. Exactly. Apparently, according to you,
I didn't say that. If I'm cooking ahi tuna, bison, all that, it's good stuff.
I see what you're trying to do. You're trying to promote your social media handle again by talking about bison burger.
I didn't plug that.
And I can assure you that while I'm no wizard of social media myself, I can assure you the public at large does not care about your bison burgers.
I had plenty of people asking, like, why I use certain ingredients, like why the vegan stuff or the almond cheese, and I explained why.
Plenty of people.
A few. Yeah.
Okay.
What I didn't get is why Eddie Spaghetti never ever cook spaghetti.
It's not healthy.
Great question.
I don't do pastas.
How about a nice wheat?
It's a protein and a vegetable.
You can get brown.
I know you get brown rice pasta, but I don't know. It's high in carbs. I get my carbs from my vegetables.
Hey, quick detour here for Eddie Spaghetti in honor of him producing the show. And his favorite guy is Bill Burr. And it's Patriots v. Steelers week. And he thinks Bill Burr's the greatest. And, so let's get to it here. Some clips. I haven't listened back to this, but Spaghetti, correct me if I'm wrong. What people are about to hear here is just 90 seconds or so.
It's 2 minutes. So we started rolling, luckily, on the cameras here. here, and then you decided to agitate Bill by bringing up Ulf Samuelsson, who's an NHL former player. He's won a cup with the Rangers, and he's an enforcer, and talking about fighting, and Bill's a big hockey fan, and misses that well, today's game does not have the fighter or enforcer kind of
The backstory, player. But the backstory is, too, is that my pals in Pittsburgh, with whom I'm on the radio every week in football season, Randy Bauman and Bill Crawford on DVE 102.5, DVE, the legendary rock station in Pittsburgh, PA, with the greatest morning show you'll ever hear anywhere in these United States, forewarned me. They know Bill Burr, and they said, one thing don't do, and it's not a joke, don't bring up the Penguins with him, because he really doesn't like Ulf Samuelsson, because Ulf Samuelsson was a rugged defenseman. Some people considered him to be a dirty player, and he once collided knees with a Bruins star named Cam Neely, and it essentially ended Cam Neely's career. Bruins fans, Boston sports fans, do not... I mean, they insist that this was an intentional thing, and Ulf Samuelsson is one of the great villains in Boston sports history. So... not knowing me apparently well enough, as well as I know Randy and Bill, they told me one thing: don't do is bring up all same as, well, I'm a child. Of course, I'm going to bring it up first thing before he can even put his butt in the seat. So here is Bill Burr sitting down with us.
Dave.
It's not that they honored him; it's that they sit there and whine about dirty play. It's just like, once you do that, you know, once you have that guy, not only you have that guy, but he's in your ring of honor. It's just like, you know, and Matt Cook and all those guys.
Not Matt Cook. It's not Matt Cook who I will defend. That was he was out of line. He's Tom Wilson level thug.
I don't think Tom Wilson's that bad.
Oh man, he is the worst.
No, he isn't. He plays in the wrong era. He plays hard. This thing, people light him up too, and he takes it. He's not bad about it.
The thing with him is that he is that he's got some skill. He's not just an abject goose.
No, who are you saying is worse? Ulf was career ender.
That was an unfortunate situation that it ended Cam's career, but it wasn't.
That's kind of an understatement.
He took out his
knees. I remember the second he did it, Derek Senna goes, yeah, that's basically your blow your knee out, end your career hit right there. He knows what he's doing.
I don't think he did. I've debated this with many Boston people. I don't think his intent was to clip knees.
How many times you got to go with somebody's knees before you're trying to do that?
It's a fair point, but I haven't seen a lot of evidence that Ulf Samuelsson was regularly throwing that around.
In your own fandom of Pittsburgh, that you're not going to bring that. I mean, Jesus Christ.
All right, let's get into it, shall we? Are we spinning here?
Why would you bring that up? You just put me in a terrible
mood. I didn't mean to put you in a bad mood.
Stupid Pittsburgh I don't think Ulf was trying to blow out knees. He just, for some reason, accidentally hit everybody's knees.
I didn't
that
mean
guy
to
is Hall of Fame. Filthy.
That I don't think he's as bad as Matt Cook or
Jesus Christ. All right, that's like, oh, you know, Charles Manson, Ted Bundy, who's worse? He's Dave Dama.
But see,
wow,
handsome, you heard though that
that's a passionate man.
It is, but then we got on famously after that.
Yeah.
So that's right. So you know. Nine bleeps though, spaghetti.
Nine bleeps in two minutes.
Yeah. I didn't know. As we sat down and he started going, I thought, boy, somebody's going to have a lot of work to do when this thing is done. But after he got over his Ulf Samuelsson upset, then we, you know, then the four-letter words kind of went away there. All right, handsome, what do you say? Should we get into things? You know what, though? After we've been going for a half an hour, we should start the show now. First, though, before we do, let me tell you about Control Center by Cavo. It's the one remote that does it all. And if there's one thing I love in life.
Wow, this is for you. This is the ultimate read.
Well, I mean, yeah, I'm skilled in the ways of the remote. And this is the one that it allows you to get rid of, because even in my house, we have literally four different remotes for things. This is the one that controls all of it. This holiday season, help your loved ones. Help Dave Damashek can take control of my TV with the gift of Control Center. Control Center cleans up your home theater so you can control everything connected to your TV with one easy to use remote. You can plug your streamer, sound system, cable and or satellite, even your game console. Control Center handles it all. It's easy for everyone to use, even your father-in-law who can't get the game on. Is that an issue for you, Handsome?
My father-in-law is not interested in watching the game, but if he were, that would be it.
He watches sports. He doesn't even care about your version of football.
Doesn't care. What my dad used to do is tape the remotes together. Because he didn't like to lose them all, and it would be bulky. There'd be like three remotes, but he had a block of wood and then taped them all together. It was pretty good. It was like the precursor to what you're just describing.
My old friend Tom Mangus did that too. Really? He took one of those paddles that people play with out on the beach with a little spongy kind of a ball that they do. He took that and he taped three remotes to that paddle. So you always, if you had the paddle, now you don't need that anymore.
No,
this is even better here.
I'm gonna get it for my dad.
You really should shop now, and you're gonna get 40% off, Handsome. That's
what?
From me to you. You know what? I'm gonna open that up, Spaghetti. I hope this is all right with everybody over at Cavo. I'm giving 40% off Control Center to everybody. To anybody who uses the promo code Dave, D-A-V-E. That's how you do it. It's normally $99.95, Handsome. This means it's going to cost you only $59.95.
Wow, that's a good deal.
Control Center available at Cavo, and it's spelled CAAVO.com, and at Best Buy. Control Center by Cavo. One remote that does it all.
It's like one ring to rule them all.
Same thing, right?
One remote to rule them all.
Yeah. By the way,
we should have got that little Hobbit guy to read it.
Ooh, yeah, you could have done that too, couldn't you have done it?
Oh, Bilbo, let's get one remote.
I'm glad you're here, Sam.
Yes, exactly. It would be a shorter movie.
Somebody told me...
They go looking for a remote.
Somebody made the point, and it's a good one, I think multiple people have now observed this, that why didn't... It's Greybeard. The white.
The white.
Why can't I think of his name? Gandalf. Oh, my goodness. How embarrassing.
Yeah.
I got Game of Thrones on my mind. And you know what's weird? Once you get into Game of Thrones, if you go back and watch Lord of the Rings...
There's only so many weird names you can fit in your brain.
Well, but also...
I firmly believe that there's only so many weird names and made-up myth that you can fit into your brain.
But also, it feels like the child's version. Because Game of Thrones has bosoms and, you know, actual blood and everything in it.
Swords.
Yeah. But it did come up on Dave's of Thunder. Somebody asked one of the BTL/monkeys on Dave's of Thunder called in to say, what do you guys think is going to happen when the show returns? And I really had to think. I couldn't remember any. What happened? I remember the one dragon got hypnotized by the dead guys and broke the wall up.
So I might sit down and just watch them all back to back. I've got nothing happening this weekend.
Yeah, maybe the whole season the whole
everything.
Year? The whole thing, really.
Everything from the beginning. Because that might help refamiliarize. I'm still very confused.
No idea what's going on in the show. Like,
I think the first three seasons I knew what was happening. And then
do you have a guess what's going to be?
I think that the nihilist in me believes everyone just dies. It would be deeply unsatisfying.
I guess that would be great. Here's my one big prediction for you.
Mm-hmm.
The little fella, Tyrion.
Tyrion.
I bet he gets it. I bet he gets killed. Say gets, he doesn't get the throne.
No.
He gets
death. He's too likable to end up winning.
Because who else out there do you really care about at this point? You like Jon Snow, but he's already died, so they're not going to kill him twice.
I like the girl.
Who? Daenerys?
No. The girl has no eyes.
Arya.
Arya.
Ah.
That one. I like her.
George R. R. Martin's not going to... Arya and Tyrion are—they're not going to die based off of what his wife requested when he wrote the books originally.
I disagree with.
I don't think Weiss and Benioff, the HBO guys, are going to kill either one of them.
First of all, right. First of all, George R. R. Martin is no longer in charge.
He's involved. He's involved, though.
The TV rights. And what his wife wants, I imagine he's devilish enough that he... Yeah, that's great. Yeah. Oh, you're representative of the audience? Yeah. Great. Oh, that would upset you? Yeah. Oh, then great. That's what
in
we need.
Case,
that's the card we
knife,
need to play.
Stick a knife in Terry.
Right. Who that he may be killed by? He's not in battle.
He'll accidentally get stepped on by.
What do you mean? Oh, the only death you see is
battle
on the battlefield.
Coming to everyone.
Well, I don't think there's no real at this point where they are in the story. The backstabbing, the more political side of it's pretty much gone.
Yeah, but the white walkers are on their way. That doesn't matter. You may not want to be in a battle, but you're in a battle.
Well, the prophecy that would show that Cersei dies and her brothers live. It's part of the show. I'm a nerd when it comes to this. I read the books. I've watched.
Wait
the
a second.
All.
Cersei has to die?
Yeah.
She's really? Definitely going to die.
Oh, you think so?
That was sure. It was part of the prophet. It was like one episode kind of showed her back as a child, like she was, it was like a curse put on her. And yeah, that's what the prophecy says.
Right.
That she's,
so from
she's
the
perish.
So from the show with the red wedding to the show with the red challenge flag picks, let's get to them here. Eddie Spaghetti, it's time for week 15 and 5 very juicy matchups for us. Hit it.
Red Challenge Flag Picks!
I feel the urgency in your voice there, yep. Handsome.
Trying to make up for the lack of money as well, so I don't know if you heard my baritone there, but...
A little bit, yeah. You really did. You put on a one-man show there. Let's start with Handsome's game. It's a redo of Super Bowl VIII when Larry Zonka and company ran all over the Minnesota Vikings. This time it's up there in Minnesota. Both teams, again, I'm not going to say must win, but both teams, if they want to go to the playoffs, must win this game. It's not a must win game, but they must win it if they want to be playing in January. That's a key distinction. I'll just start with that, Handsome. Dolphins, Vikings, choose. Is he really going to do it?
Pick the Vikings.
Oh, all right. I'm going with the Vikings.
I'm just sort of channeling Willie a little bit here, as I like to. I do think the Dolphins kind of played their Super Bowl, and I feel like they maybe have over-celebrated their week, whatever it was, 14 victory. I think they're ripe for a upset. But that said, the Vikings were so unimpressive on Monday night, and there's clearly internal struggles there. Maybe I'm doing a Damashek and sort of predicting a loss so that I'm protected.
No, I thought I don't know. The thing that I'm skeptical of is what MJD said earlier in the week. Where was that show, by the way? Just so I can direct people to hear Maurice's insights. Always great stuff.
We spoke with Maurice during the mountain climb this week.
The mountain climb is back. That's video only. That's where you're going to want to find that. But he made an interesting point. Yes,
busy.
Mount Lombardi is back. The skit, because we're now into December. The snow is falling. That's when it's hard to get up to the very peak of Mount Lombardi. So Football Mountain is back with me and Maurice.
Strap on your crampons.
Okay. What does that mean? Crampons
are a thing that mountain climbers wear.
Oh, I didn't even know what that meant. All right.
Yeah, it's a thing.
We need some
look
crampons
it up, Eddie,
for next time.
If that's not right, then you can feel free to take that bit out. But I feel like crampons are the things you put on your boots.
Yeah, you're right.
They're spikes, like a spike attachment.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, Football Mountain is fun to climb with Maurice. I literally, two
Anything's
things, by the way.
Fun to do with Maurice.
Yeah, it's true. But we were doing, the Batman bit, the old Adam West Batman bit where they climb up the side of the wall and they turn the camera on its side so it looks like they're scaling up. So Maurice and I do that too. And faking like I was climbing hurt my back. That's really pathetic. But Maurice said that, I'm skeptical of this, but there's also, as they love to talk about, the business of pro football. The Vikings are into Kirk Cousins for so much loot. And there's so many people out there saying, boy, they should not have done that. The Vikings with John DeFilippo felt compelled to throw the ball to justify that contract. They couldn't be a run-first team.
Yep.
Well, that's out the window either way now. They're going to grind it. Do you think that is a successful ploy against your Dolphins defense? Because I do think they're going to run it a lot.
It has been.
So
the Dolphins haven't been good at stopping the run. But who do they grind it with? I mean, is Dalvin Cook a grinder?
No, he's not. But, Latavius Murray doesn't really cut that figure either, but he's more...
He's more like that, but I'm not sure that they have the pieces to grind...
To just bang a team like that, but that is what's emerging.
And also, the reason they want to do that is because Zimmer thinks that his defense is last year's defense, but it hasn't been.
No, true enough.
Yeah. Not been good enough. So I'm not sure that they could necessarily say our tactic should be to run the ball and play great defense.
Yeah. Once
when, if you don't have a great defense, running the ball could just put you further in the hole.
It also seems clear that that most pro football players, once they get it in their head, they get a sack mentality in their head that it actually is detrimental to the run defense,
right?
Because they do individually and then collectively start start running upfield,
pursuing.
Right.
Call it on the TV, Dave.
I don't know that that is actually over pursuit.
Well,
that's running a straight line.
On.
That's
move,
right.
Move along.
All right, let's move on to another Super Bowl redo here, handsome.
Ooh.
Super Bowl V. Do you remember who won the who made the game winning kick there? Eddie Spaghetti. Can you take a shot at that one? By the way, the Cowboys in Super Bowl V wear their glorious royal blue jerseys against the then Baltimore Colts, all white. It was a heavenly looking matchup, a terrible game. Do you know who made that kick there? You'll never get it. It's Jim O'Brien. He
O'Brien,
was a rookie.
Yeah, I was going to say
double
O'Brien.
Zero.
I genuinely was going to say O'Brien. I didn't know it was Jim.
Head-on kicker. And I got to tell you, we got to go back to head-on kicking. That's what solves the ills of pro football more than any other rule change.
I don't think it does.
I think it'd be great.
What, you have to head-on?
You have to head-on kick.
What?
Just ban the sidewinder.
What?
What do you mean, what? That's a great...
But you also have to, like, toe punt. That's what all those head-on kickers did, is they toe punted.
They also weren't very good.
They were good for... Well, they
had
were,
other,
they were
had
pretty
like,
good from
they
that
had second
one.
Jobs.
Like, guess what? In sports, I know this is a paradox, but guys get to be too good and they corrupt the quality of... for the viewer, they corrupt the
what, you think
excitement
you think
of the game.
Kicking this season's been too good?
No, I think it could get worse.
What problem are you
I think
solving?
It could get worse. I think it could get worse and
what
it would be more satisfying...
Solving?
You'd bet because you'd see more offensive plays run instead of deferring to the kicker. I that's definitely not a good listen. NHL
definitely not a good idea.
The defensemen are now too good as skaters, and so now there's no space on the ice anymore. This has happened in the NBA as well. The players are too long and quick. That's why you never see anybody press anymore. And now in pro football, the kickers are too good. That's all they're just too good. And in fact, by the way, baseball has a problem too. It's now all about like just get to the lead with in the sixth inning and the game's over if you're good because you just have a deep bullpen. But that's another subject for another time. But I just did 5 minutes on it.
Yeah, you did.
Here we go. Cowboys, Colts,
Cowboys. You choose.
Cowboys go into the playoffs almost certainly one way or the other at this point. Colts though, they really could use this one, and if they get it, I think they run the table and they do get in with 10 wins. I will take the Indianapolis Colts. Go ahead, handsome. Oh, he really threw it at me. Oh, I let out a childish.
Did that hurt more than when Patrick
bleep.
Mahomes hit you with a pastry?
No, it did not. Handsome, explain yourself.
The Cowboys are just on a roll. The Cowboys are on a roll, and they sort of play to their opponents, and they play just well enough to beat their opponents. They're not gonna blow anyone away, but I think in this case, what I would be doing is Andrew Luck has taken the Colts on his back, and I think with Zeke Elliott, you can make sure that Andrew Luck doesn't get to touch the ball a whole lot.
So well,
this to me is a Zeke Elliott game. It's a Cowboys O line which hasn't lived up to standards. Doing their thing, and then it's a Cowboys defense, which has gone above and beyond what was expected of them.
Crazy good. And Rod Marinelli, I think there's a little ageism going on.
Yes.
Because everybody wants Adam Gase or Sean McVay or Matt Nagy or otherwise. And, Marinelli's older and defense first. But, man, that defense has been really good since he got there. And now it has some legitimate pieces led by Tank Lawrence.
But I don't think it's ages. I think those great defensive coaches just stay as defensive coordinators. I just don't think anyone wants a defensive coach.
Well, you say that, but let's see if one of these teams, whether if the Ravens can actually get into the postseason and make some hay, or the Cowboys or the Seahawks playing that kind of ball. All we've seen to this point is offense winning. But if the Cowboys go up to Indy and they keep on doing it with the method that you're talking about, just spinning the clock and grinding it with your power back, especially with the injuries on their O-line, I think the Cowboys become even a scarier proposition. Whoever survives, because it looks like it's going to be the Seahawks and Cowboys in round one. Whoever survives that game, that's going to be scary for one of these more, high shoot it out kind of offenses on the NFC side. All right. the old, is it the oldest rivalry? I think it is. That's
I think it is. That's how they bill it.
They always talk about it as the most storied, but you know, either way, Packers, they still have a playoff shot going into Chicago. I was wrong about that. Like Jerry Orbach says at the end of Dirty Dancing, I said the Bears wouldn't be good this year. That would be next year, but looks like they're headed almost certainly. It's just about locked up, the division title. Packers, Bears, choose.
I'm going Bears.
Yeah, me too. Do you think Aaron Rodgers can go in there? And he seemed liberated emotionally if you watched any of that game. I know you were focused on the Dolphins, but if you watched any of that game, he really did.
He looked like a happy,
seemed happy.
Happy-go-lucky guy. He doesn't look like he's been enjoying football for much of this. I think that's probably true, but I'm not sure he's going to enjoy playing the Bears defense.
I wish guys would at least wear it a little bit. You know, we talk all the time about we want these guys to be more outspoken, but then a guy like Ben Roethlisberger does speak his mind, and then he gets criticized endlessly for having done so. I wish Aaron Rodgers would at least say, like, yeah, I just didn't want, I just thought it was time for Mike McCarthy to go. Clearly, that's what he wanted, but the you know, dodgy kind of, oh, I don't know what happened there, you know, kind of attitude leaves me unimpressed.
I mean, my favorite one of those was Baker Mayfield a couple of weeks ago, just deciding he would shake Hugh's hand and being very candid about the fact.
I love it.
He got scolded by the grown-ups.
It's a business. You're going to come around. All right. All right. Well, listen, if Baker Mayfield winds up on a team coached by Hugh Jackson again, then things haven't gone well for Baker
Mayfield.
Even
better is if the Bengals do what looks like they're going to do and they appoint Hugh to replace Marvin, and then for the next, I mean, how much, like, that's a rivalry that, I mean, it is in theory a rivalry, and it should be, it's local even, but no one in 100 years has cared a cent about the Browns playing the Bengals. If those two teams, if it's Baker against Hugh for a few years, think how much fun that'll be.
Oh, that's my one Christmas wish as a Steelers fan. Please, Bengals, please hire Hugh Jackson to be your head coach. And Browns, please hire Greg Williams to be your head coach full time. Please let that happen.
That's not happening.
I really, if that could be. All right, let's go with the Eagles at the Rams. I'll make this pick. It's Nick Foles. There's some controversy inside the building about Carson Wentz and how hurt he was or when they knew, whatever. Right. It's Nick Foles, obviously a hero to Eagles fans the world over for his deeds in December, January, and early February. I am going to go with the LA Rams. Of course, they need to right the ship here. They must stop the bleeding, the embarrassment of going up into chilly weather in Chicago and getting kind of exposed a little bit.
Exposed? They scored single-digit points. I mean, you can't do that.
I know. I don't know what to make about
offensive to make of that. Does that.
I mean, is it really just solved by being in Los Angeles for the playoffs? I don't know that it will.
No.
Because, and I refer you to the Jags. In the copycat league, I don't want to make too big a deal about this. And obviously, well, you know what? You could say the Rams 2018 offense is equivalent to the powerhouse nature of the 2017 Jags and into 2018. And then when the Jags went down, even though they were, you know, they had some big wins and some weird losses, when they went to Dallas and Dallas just humiliated them. Remember that game? Mm-hmm. That was the flashpoint for the Jags. They figured out something, did the Cowboys, about how to attack that Jags defense, and they have just not been the same ever since. They've gotten they've been annihilated mostly since then. Maybe the Bears showed something. The issue is that nobody has the pieces that the Bears has to dominate a foe the way that Bears defense does. But anyway, I got the Rams. You got any case to make for the Eagles?
No.
Not for spaghetti.
Not without Wentz, no.
Yeah, maybe it's a blowout here.
The Rams are ready to blow them out. I think in the NFL today, people, the minute you lose a game, people always think like, oh, should we hop off this bandwagon? They're not a good team. Like, too prisoner of the moment. Like, they played a game versus the Bears, another good team. They lost the game, big deal, they'll be fine.
I know, but it was chilly, and that's an embarrassing thing. It's really like the stereotype of a Southern California.
Kind of chilly in Southern California recently.
True enough,
maybe
perhaps.
It's dipped into the 50s.
Here's one more question, though. What if Nick Foles does pull off the not impossible, but the unlikely, and wins these last three games, to the playoffs,
and then they win the Super Bowl?
No, what if they get to the playoffs? What if they go to the playoffs and then he doesn't stink it up in the postseason?
If I were the Eagles, I'd think about trading Carson Wentz.
Are you being serious?
No, I'm not.
Well, I mean, what if that happens, though?
No, but no. I
mean, you don't think that there will be massive pressure on Lurie and company to... No. Listen, this is the guy who delivered us the Super Bowl.
No, I think if he did that a second time...
I didn't say a Super Bowl. Okay. I said get them to the playoffs.
If he won the playoffs and then they were able to say, okay, this time we will trade him, and they got even a third-round pick for Nick Foles, I would think every Eagles fan would be thrilled.
All right. I don't know, man. I think if Nick Foles with the same offense, with the same roster, takes them, somehow gets them on a 3-game winning streak and they wind up in January, I think there will be a lot of noise at least. I'm not saying it's going to be the people inside the building, but the fan base, which you may have heard is awfully loud and nasty and bilious sometimes, will apply some legitimate pressure.
I don't think so. I think outside of Mahomes, I would argue that Goff, that Wentz is probably the quarterback you'd want most with, like, to build a franchise going forward.
Oh, well, I don't think you could say that anymore. I mean, he was
an MVP type candidate last year.
I get it, but now this early in his career, he breaking bones and all that kind of thing. Yes, you can ascribe it to bad luck, but the buzz has already begun. Look online. Oh, he's too brittle. He's too brittle. And he is kind of slightly built a little bit, too.
No, he's huge.
What?
He's humongous.
He's tall. He's not. He's tall. Doesn't mean he's
as thick as Eddie aspires
exactly.
to be.
And he played in North Dakota. He's tough. He's a tough guy. I'm fine with Wentz.
All right. I didn't know. I was sitting amongst the Carson Wentz fan club here. All right. I take it all
fan
back.
Fan club. We're just.
I think he's great too. I'm just telling you what could be. I'm just asking a fun question.
So would you take Goff over Wentz or Deshaun Watson over Wentz?
Telling you, no, I wouldn't. But I would, Deshaun Watson, I'd consider over Wentz, but I would not, I'm just telling you what will be, what the reality will be if on January 15th, the Eagles are going into the divisional round with Nick Foles at QB.
Regardless, it's not going to happen because they're going to lose this game, and then they're pretty much
done. Yeah, you're right.
We've
just spent 9 minutes that you're never going to get back. 9 minutes devoted.
Everyone, go back 8 minutes and then fast forward through it so that you can at least have not listened to that stuff.
Fair. Before we turn it over to Willie McGinnis' thoughts on the big game going down in Heinz Field, Handsome Hank, I care what you think too. It's the Patriots. It's the Steelers. Both teams anxious to get a win, to be sure.
Anxious.
Hey, listen, the Patriots lose this one. Well, I talked about all this stuff with Willie, so my thoughts aren't necessary here, but I will say, Patriots have to go on the road for a couple of games just to get... They have to win a wild card game in Foxborough, then go on the road for a couple. That will be two...
That'll test them.
More than test them. They won't survive that. They won't get through three playoff games playing the way they're playing this year. All right, here we go, though, Handsome. I want to hear what you think. It's the Patriots. It's the Steelers. Choose.
I'm choosing the New England Patriots.
I wish I could throw the red challenge flag at you, Handsome, but I cannot. Eddie Spaghetti, would you like to mount some argument for the Steelers? I know you think that they're going to be in this game.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a really close game.
I think they'll be in the game.
It's going to be within a 3 to 5 point game. I think the Patriots will end up winning based off the health of James Conner. I'm not sure if he's 100%. I think they need to rely on him. As much as people want to downplay how he's been and how much better Le'Veon Bell is, Conner was still awesome this year, but they'll be in the game. The Pittsburgh Steelers are fine. They'll be fine.
They're going to be fine?
They're fine.
They're going to not be in the playoffs after they lose this game, unless they go down to New Orleans next Sunday and win that one. They're not going to go to the playoffs. What do you mean fine?
They'll be happy.
They'll be able to celebrate.
Their families will embrace them.
Right. They have loving families.
But no, they're not going to be in the playoffs.
No, but they're going to be
fine.
There's
two more games.
They're screwed there.
There's two more games after.
One of them is against the Saints. They're not.
New Orleans.
If the Steelers don't win this game, they're going to have a very, very, very hard path to the playoffs.
Okay. All right. I'll flip then. Steelers are home. Steelers win this game by 4 points. There you go.
I think the best thing that can happen is that for the Steelers is, if, assuming they lose this game, or even if they win it, is you want the Saints. This is for Steelers fans specifically out there. I think you want the Saints to lose to the Panthers on Monday night, and you want the Rams to beat the Eagles, because then it will make it that the Rams are a full game. Well, it would be highly unlikely that the Saints could catch the Rams at that point.
So then you want the Saints to rest players against the Steelers. Is this where you'll go?
It's the best chance they have, right? I don't think that can happen. I don't think by week 16 things will be clear enough on the NFC seeding side that would be a thing. Yeah, listen, I wish I could pick the Steelers and think it, but I don't think it. So I'm picking the Patriots.
I think going back to where we started, the Miami Miracle will have annoyed Tom Brady and Bill Belichick enough that you're going to get the very best game out of them.
I agree with that, except that I'll refer you to 1 year ago when the Patriots were maybe not as, but the way they've been playing the last month or so, the Patriots don't, this version doesn't look much better than the 2017 version. And I'll refer you back, the timing is identical. They went down to Miami, did the Patriots and lost there.
Yep.
And the Steelers really beat them. Jesse James obviously scored that touchdown to beat them. So if that's our recent history to go off of, it's not like the Patriots are. It's implausible they could lose two straight games. But anyway, I think what they always do. They just they seduce Big Ben. He can't. His ego forces him to take those shots.
I know.
They'll say like, "Hey, you want to try to nickel and dime us down the field, Big Ben? Go ahead. We're gonna give you the little 10 yards at a clip, kind of defense. You can do that." Or you could go for door number two. You could go door number two, man.
I think KB might be open.
Yeah, that's what they like to do to him. All right, great stuff, Handsome Hank. Good fun.
Thank you very much, Dave.
It's
so fun being with you.
Do you think it was Eddie Spaghetti's doing or what?
I tell you what, if I was Emma, I would be not resting easy in my bed, in my sick bed right now.
So Emma is Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
Both infirmed.
Yep.
And Eddie Spaghetti is Nick Foles.
Nick Foles. Going for another MVP.
Foles has way, way, way better hair than Spaghetti, but he doesn't make those beautiful plates.
What, Eddie,
he doesn't get the haircut tomorrow.
I printed out my coupon.
Another one? You just got one the other day.
I'm going home next week. I got to trim. And for the holiday party, I got to trim the.
You're
sides
in
up.
There, Clay. You're printing out coupons for haircuts while we're spinning.
It was like an hour.
We're
ago.
Working in here.
I was up here alone because we started about 15, 20 minutes
Emma
late.
Just retained her job.
All right, let's hear from number 55,
backups.
Cleveland Browns legend, and he also knows about the Patriots. Here's
My
Willie McGinnis.
Backup.
Yeah, that's right. His
first
take
game in the league.
His take on the big game and on Mike Tomlin and beyond.
Dave.
While you're sitting here, we have to kibitz about it. First issue before this big game in Heinz Field. We'll talk about the Steelers in a second, but if the Patriots lose this one,
right,
which they are not going to, because Tom Brady owns the,
they could.
He's 11-2. Come on,
I know what you're doing.
I'm not doing anything other than stating fact to you, McGinnis.
It's like we saying they never lose at Heinz Field, and they go out and they lose.
They never do. I mean, well, it's not like I'm being hyperbolic. He's 11-2. He's like 30 touchdowns to 4 picks in his
career.
None
of that matters.
Of course. What do you mean it doesn't matter? Of course.
Because none of that has anything to do with what's going to happen Sunday.
Okay. I get that headspace. I appreciate it.
And that's what they're being told.
First of all, what if the Patriots lose, though? How bad are things going to be? Nobody is considering the Patriots as
a possible
loser.
It is going to be bad. It's already bad.
That'll be 3 out of 4.
Because of what happened in Miami.
Right. And in combination with what happened in Nashville 3 weeks ago.
So you think about that. And, you know, like I mentioned, if you're going to be a playoff team and you're going to be a playoff team to go deep in the playoffs – right now is the time you need to be playing your best ball.
Mm-hmm.
Not 2 weeks from now, not just sliding in the back door in the playoffs and then think you're just going to hit a switch. Doesn't work like that. You want to be gaining momentum over the last quarter of the season.
Does Belichick believe that?
Now, of course.
He
absolutely
talks about that kind of stuff?
Absolutely. And they're not talking playoffs. That's the one other critical thing about the Patriots. They're just talking about the Steelers. Let everything take care of itself. We're not talking about scenarios. We don't care what all these other teams are doing. Let's handle our own business. I can hear it like it was yesterday.
Well, let me give you a scenario.
Okay.
If they are the 3 seed, the Patriots, which is what they would be if they lose.
Who would be the 2? Texans?
Probably the Texans, assuming that they can hold on. Things have to happen and break wrong for the Patriots. But let's say they're a 3 seed. If they are, then their first round matchup would be against the Colts or maybe the Ravens or maybe even the Chiefs or Chargers.
At home still, though.
That's a home game in the wild card round. And then after that, then they would go to either KC or to the Chargers to Houston. That seems awfully tough. The Patriots have almost always had that path of a bye, then 2 home games.
You earn that.
I get it.
You earn that in the regular season. And that's a reward for being good in the regular season.
Okay, but you know how I feel about the division. That's a problem.
It's not. You just don't play division games. That's only 8 games. What about the other 8?
They play. Well, they listen. Hey, listen. I'm just telling you the score, fella.
I get it.
But now the other thing is, you played for the guy who I think collectively the world agrees, Bill Belichick, best head coach of the 21st century at minimum.
Ever.
Okay, fine.
Let's rename the Lombardi to the Belichick.
So it's hard to measure anybody else against that, but as best you can. Who's to blame for this 3-game, this horrible skid with the talent they have? Hall of Fame quarterback Ben Roethlisberger. You have the best wide receiver of the 21st century. You have some nice defensive pieces. You have the best O-line in the game, and yet they're on the other. They're about to miss the playoffs. Is this Mike Tomlin's fault?
Partly. I think everybody's to take blame. And every great coach will step up to the podium and says, you know, it starts with me. But as good as Mike Tomlin is as a coach and the vision he gives, the blueprint, he can't go out and play. He's not the guy out there jumping off sides, getting penalties, giving up punt returns, not covering – having mental errors on the back ends. You can go down the line with everything with this team. The inconsistencies, throwing the interceptions, not just interceptions, but throwing teammates and everybody else under the bus. And you're not playing well as well, you know, also. So I think Mike Tomlin does a phenomenal job at managing all these personalities that he has in that locker room and these egos and trying to make everybody happy and still go out and put together a scheme from week to week to win football games. I think a lot falls on these players. They need to start being more accountable. They need to start being more about the team than themselves. Don't worry about your catches. Don't worry about your carries. Don't worry about your completion percentage. Whatever it is, tackles, sacks, forget about all that. Go out and fight and play for your brother. This is arguably one of the most highly decorated organizations in sports. Not just football, in sports, and has the high expectations for being classy, you know, for being consistent through ownership, through, you know, leadership in the league and through the community, everything. So the players should resemble that as well. Some of the things that go on throughout the year, I don't agree with. I think it's irresponsible by them. I think it's not being a good teammate. I think it's them not being accountable to each other. And you don't win games consistently like that. And I think this group of men, which they are very talented, and it's not all of them. It's not all of them. But when you have some of the main characters in the movie not performing right, it turns it into a bad movie, right? So I just think if they come together and they put everything else to the side and make it about team versus individualism, they can hit the switch and turn it on. It's a good football team. It's a good football team. It's a well-coached team. It has been, has always been. So it's up at the end of the day, it's up to the group of men putting on the uniform, going out there representing the logo.
Two questions then. One, you say flip the switch. Is that realistic that after this 3-game losing streak that there could be some big moment in that locker room or otherwise where they say, all right, no more nonsense. Now we get on our roll. Is that reasonable to assume
Absolutely.
A team can do that?
Absolutely. But whatever happens, whatever conversation happens, whatever meeting happens, they need to stay in the locker room. That's another issue. Everything that happens there comes out of the locker room and filters to the media. We don't need to hear about it. If guys got to go at it a little bit, call each other out, whatever the case may be, handle that behind closed doors and leave it there. Fix your issues like men. Don't be sensitive. Don't be thin-skinned. Talk about it. Leave it in the room and then go out and have fun and play football. Because it's like I mentioned, I keep saying it is a good football team. But when everybody's going in the wrong direction, it doesn't appear that way.
And do you think that Mike Tomlin, and I hear what you're saying, he's a hard one to define because he is definitely a player's coach. It's hard to find.
Gotta be these days. You gotta be able to communicate.
Well, there are very few guys who don't enjoy Mike Tomlin as their head coach.
Dave, let me ask you this. If you were my coach and we didn't have a relationship or there's something about you that made me want to go out and work extra in the weight room and watch extra tape and go out and perform at a certain level. If I didn't buy in, do you think you would be a coach long?
I completely agree. I don't think Bob Knight would make it in the 21st century.
Right, but there's a certain style. Like, there's a lot of players that love Bob Knight, like Parcells. Mm-hmm. I love Parcells. What he did didn't bother me because I knew it was out of love. And then when you performed at a certain level and you were consistent, you saw the other side. But he had a demanding approach. I'm not talking about his approach. I'm talking about what he deserves as a coach. And these players need to understand that. You know, when I was in Cleveland, we had Romeo Crennel. You know, I was telling the players in the locker room, if he gets fired or he's not here, you're going to miss him. Trust me. You're going to miss him. You're not going to get another coach like this. And they still didn't buy in, and not everybody. And, you know, 1 year we went 10-6. That was great, but, you know, we didn't make playoffs for 3 years. Romeo ends up getting fired, and whoever else comes in next. And it's a cycle. Mike Tomlin is the coach you want to be there. So play for him. Respect him and play for him. If not, you don't know what you're going to get.
I agree with all of that, and I do think that in his favor, in the kryptonite that is bad road losses to crummy teams has plagued him for a dozen years now, and it's not a small thing.
How many Super Bowls has he won?
One. It's been to two. All that's fine, and we'll see what the thing I'll say in his favor is they didn't know that one of their star players wasn't going to be there for the season until the season had already started.
Yeah, but you know what? That didn't really affect the team. It was a distraction, but it didn't affect the team because James Conner came in and delivered.
But I also bet you on certain teams that would cause much more
this
trouble.
This team is filled with drama. They faced all different types of distractions for how many years? You know, you almost want to say they're built for it. It's not a good thing, but you almost want to say they're built for it.
I'm kind of with you about what you're getting at there. You
right?
know? Okay, it all comes down to this. Two teams coming off losses, bad losses too, in Heinz Field.
Yeah.
Big stakes for both teams, yep. More so for the Steelers, but both teams really would like a victory here.
Yep.
Give me Willie McGinnis' pick from Sunday afternoon in Pittsburgh.
It's a tough one because what Pittsburgh does really well when they do it, the Patriots struggle with. And they got multiple guys on the outside. AB always eats against the Patriots. He always has a good game when he's there. Juju, of course, is another number one. They got two number one receivers.
Right.
They got some other pieces in Rudolph and Jesse James. And I mean, not Rudolph, Vance McDonald and Jesse James. And Washington can play a part. You know, they've got pieces that the Patriots could possibly struggle with. And the offensive line, for that matter. But when it comes to what style you're going to get from the Patriots, how are you going to stop them? What are they going to throw at you offensively? Will they play keep away, which they probably will? They'll probably try and run the ball.
That's my suspicion.
Right.
It's going to be 26.
They'll slow things down. They'll attack a secondary that's been struggling in waves. I wouldn't say consistently, but in waves. They'll find their you know, their mismatches in their spots, and they'll attack. And if the Patriots just jump out, and then you become one-dimensional, which you kind of are without James Conner. He's a little banged up. Then what? Like, what does this team do? If it comes to certain situations where the Patriots want to spread it and just throw it, what type of game is it going to be? So I'm not ready. It's Wednesday. I'm not ready to make a pick. I don't make a pick because I wore the Flying Elvis on my helmet like you tend to assume sometimes.
Oh, I know you're accusing me of doing that.
You know? Yeah. I make my picks based on, I'm still watching some things. I want to watch a little more tape. And I want to see where this team is, where Pittsburgh is mentally. Mm-hmm. I already know where the Patriots are. They're disgusted. It's been bad all week. If they could have went out an hour after that game and played again, they would have been out there in full pads ready to go. I know how the Monday meeting was with Belichick, with the team. I know how the position coaches are dealing with these guys, and I know the bitter taste with them walking around in that locker room. What I don't know is where the mindset is with the Steelers.
I feel like if they go down, if they get some early adversity, I feel like they could really crumble.
They should know this now. If they lose this game to the Patriots, the playoffs are gone.
That's how they're approaching it, yeah.
They better. Or, we got it. No. This is desperado. Backs against the wall. It's time to go. No more bull crap. No more throwing each other under the bus. Let's bring it in. No matter what happens, we're going to fight for each other. We're going to play for each other. That should be the mentality.
I hope you're listening, Steelers locker room. Willie McGinnis just gave you your pep talk.
If that's not the mentality, they'll lose big to the Patriots and they won't make the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't know what's more likely, two wins against the Saints and Patriots, or that they lose by 5-6 touchdowns to those two teams. That's the thing with the Steelers.
I just gave you the magic.
I loved it, 55. It was dynamite. All right. Always love our time with number 55, Willie McGinnis there. Have a good time on the road. You're going out to Mile High.
Yep. Denver, Cleveland.
Couple of pro football Saturday and Sunday. Exciting.
Double headers, man. I love it.
Willie McGinnis to everybody. All right, there's Willie McGinnis. So thanks to him, as always. Thanks to everybody for a great week. Make sure you go back and listen to that Bill Burr show. It was really good. David Carr, great stuff from him. Ryan Mundy on Tuesday. Handsome Hank. Eddie Spaghetti. Pretty much everybody outside MVP, according to Eddie Spaghetti. I don't know. Well, I say get well soon, Carson Wentz. And MVP. We'll talk to you after week 15 in front of week 16. Until then, for Handsome Hank, Eddie Spaghetti, MVP, and the rest of the gang, it's been a thin slice of heaven.